Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God. The gospel promised beforehand through the prophets and the Holy Scripture regarding his Son. Through him and for his name's sake, we receive grace and apostleship to call people from among all the Gentiles to the obedience that comes from faith. With these very words, Paul opens up his epistle to the Romans. The same apostle Paul who founded several churches in Asia Minor and Europe as a result of three missionary journeys. He is considered the second most important figure in Christianity. He wrote actually 14 of the 27 New Testament books and half of the book of Acts. He was often cold, hungry, persecuted, and imprisoned for proclaiming the gospel. And yet Paul would write in Philippians, "All these things have happened to me to advance the gospel." Whatever you are going through in your life, I hope that those words from the Apostle Paul today are an encouragement to you, are an encouragement to realize that in the midst of great trial and in the midst of your life where things occur that don't make sense to you often, that ultimately God is at work and God can be using your life like he did the Apostle Paul to advance the gospel. It's interesting in our lesson today, our second lesson in the book of Acts, and I invite you to turn to that in your bulletin. We notice that as Paul is arriving into Rome, that he's encouraged by the brothers. You may remember that before this story, actually, I believe it's in Acts 27, they were involved in a shipwreck after a great storm at sea, and the Lord rescued them, and Paul eventually comes to Rome. So even getting to Rome was quite a trial for Paul. But as he got there, he was encouraged by the brothers. He found a number of believers that were there, and he spent 7 days with them. They invited him into fellowship. And so this fellowship for the Apostle Paul was very encouraging. He really enjoyed being with them and they with him. And it says that he was allowed to live by himself under Roman guard. Basically, he was under house arrest. And so some of you may be asking the legitimate question today, how could this even advance the gospel in any way? How could it be that with the Apostle Paul coming to Rome, and you'll remember he was sent to Rome because he appealed to Caesar, again, because he was being persecuted, his life was threatened, and he appealed to Caesar as a Roman citizen that Caesar would hear his case. And so again, how would this be advancing the gospel in any way, shape, or form? It was interrupting Paul's missionary journeys. It was interrupting the work of God. But was it? Could it be that God was moving through these seeming obstacles in the most powerful and incredible ways? And I would submit to you three reasons why that was true, and why God ultimately used these situations to advance the gospel through the Apostle Paul in some incredible ways. First of all, the Praetorium Guard, which was the elite of the Roman army who guarded the emperor's palace, were being reached by the Apostle Paul. God was using the emperor to bring his best boys in to watch Paul, to chain them to the apostle, one every 6 hours, for instruction in the Christian gospel. And so you see what was happening as Paul was under house arrest, the emperor was sending in one soldier from the Praetorium Guard every 6 hours, and they were chained to Paul in the house. Guess what Paul was doing during that time? He was preaching to them. He was sharing with them about Jesus Christ. He was telling them about the shipwreck he was had just gone through, and how the Lord had spared his life. And he had a new guard every 6 hours that he was proclaiming the gospel to and sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. Talk about a captive audience. They thought that the Apostle Paul was the captive, but the Lord just used all of this to turn Rome upside down in a very real way. No wonder that the Apostle Paul writes at the end of Philippians, "All the saints greet you, especially those of Caesar's household." You see, a lot of us would read that one verse and it would just go right over our heads, right? You wouldn't even think about what I'm sharing with you in this moment. But what I'm sharing with you is that the Apostle Paul could write that at the end of Philippians because he had personally brought a number of the praetorium guard into the household of faith. He had been brought to that moment under house arrest to advance the gospel of Jesus Christ. And God was using him to witness to the elite of the Roman army, who would then go out and be a witness to others in the army as well about Jesus Christ. And the gospel was being spread. I love that. I love that. Also, the second reason why the gospel is being advanced. Since Paul was arrested, all of the other brothers, as we read in this chapter, they were coming to him when he was under house arrest to visit him, to talk to him, to break bread with him, to provide for him his needs of food and water and things like that. And they were being encouraged in the presence of Paul. Paul was known throughout the modern world as an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ. And here he was in Rome, and all of the believers were so excited that he was there, and they were going in and fellowshipping with him. But also what happened for them is that they were encouraged in their faith, and they went out and began to preach the gospel as well. They were so encouraged by the apostle Paul and his witness to the Lord Jesus Christ and by the presence of the power of the Spirit in his life that the Holy Spirit used him to encourage them to go and share their faith as well. Because as you read in the book of Romans, what he says is that so many more were being reached, and Paul stated that he rejoiced in that. You'll read in the book of Romans where Paul says that he's excited about all the other believers who are busy sharing the gospel, and people are coming to faith through their witness. And he's excited about that. He rejoices in that. Someone muses about this particular rejoicing that maybe one of the finest ways to evangelize a community might be to lock up all the preachers in jail. I'm all for it. I just want to say to you, I'm willing to be in the pokey for a while. I'll be in the slammer. If that's what it would take to encourage you to go and share the gospel even more throughout Naples and throughout this state and to be encouraged in that, I'm all for it. I'll go for it. But you see, that's a second way in which the gospel was being advanced. But there's a third way in which the gospel was being advanced. A third advantage that I believe the Apostle Paul never really saw, but you and I can see it today. One of the greatest things that happened to the Apostle Paul, in addition to preaching the gospel and planting churches, two of the greatest ways he spread the gospel, the third greatest way, was being imprisoned. How might that be? There are letters in this Bible that would never have been written had he not been imprisoned. Paul was a busy guy. There weren't all the Holiday Inns and Hiltons and things like that spread throughout the world at that time. And it really wasn't comfortable accommodations. You know, he really wouldn't have a house where he could sit down and write, or a scribe that could take notes for him. And because of his imprisonment, he was able to write some of those 14 epistles of the New Testament out of 27. God used his very imprisonment to record the word of God that you and I have. And because of these letters, the church has been spiritually fed and strengthened for over 20 centuries of Christian life. How wonderful is that? And so those are three separate reasons why the gospel was advanced in the Apostle Paul's being imprisoned. And what that says to me, and what I hope it says to you, is that the gospel of Jesus Christ cannot be shackled by prison or death. The time when it looks the darkest is actually right before the light is going to break forth. And there are situations that will occur in your life and in my life and people that we know that will seem crazy, that will seem like, God, why did you let this happen? I don't know if you've had the experience before, but I've often prayed for things and the exact opposite has occurred. And I say to God, what are you doing? If I were you, I would never do this. I would never do this this way. Have you ever had that experience before? Yeah. But invariably, I've looked back on the situation, and 9 times out of 10, I look back and I say, you know what, God? You knew what you were doing. And guess what? God knows what he's doing in your life as well. Romans 8:28. God causes all things to work for the good of those that love him and are called according to his purposes. Beloved, let me say something to you here this morning. You might want to write that scripture down, Romans 8:28. Especially if something is going on in your life or the life of somebody around you that you know that makes completely no sense, that you're struggling with, that you are wrestling with God about. Romans 8:28. God causes all things. It doesn't say some. It doesn't say rarely. It doesn't say never. It doesn't say God may possibly. You got to read the words. God causes all things. Can you say that after me? All things. Say it like you believe it. All things. God causes all things to work together for good for those that love him and are called according to his purposes. If you love him and you're seeking to follow his will, if you're obeying his purposes in your life, it's all going to work out for good. The end of the story is all good. Does that mean that God causes everything? Amen. Does that mean that God causes everything in your life? No. There are evil things that happen. Does it mean that when something happens in your life that doesn't make sense, that you're immediately going to know what it means? No. But what it does mean is that ultimately God will cause it all to work for the good. You know, when you come up here today, you'll come up here and you'll see these beautiful cushions that we kneel on and beautiful embroidery and needlepoint of some just gorgeous designs. But you know, if you were to open that up, and I don't do that, please, but if you were to open that up and look on the other side of it, you'd see all of these tangled mess of threads. And you wouldn't quite understand what was going on the other side. Isn't our life like that? A lot of times we just see the threads. We just see the mess, but we don't see the beautiful thing that God is knitting on the other side. And that's what your life is. God is creating something beautiful, one stitch at a time. And as all those stitches come together, you will be something beautiful for God in a very powerful and wonderful and incredible way that you will one day understand. And people around you as well. God has a plan to turn your world upside down. It's something I shared about a couple of weeks ago, and the plan hasn't changed. And as God turns your world upside down, he's also going to use you to turn the world of those around you upside down as well. As I shared with you, one of the most important things that can happen in this hour is the world in which we're living needs to be turned upside down literally. It needs to be turned upside down in such a way that the kingdom of God will break through you, being a witness for his love and his grace and his power and his light and his miracles in this hour. Again, whatever side of the fence you're on, whatever your political persuasion might be, whether you're an introvert or an extrovert, whether you're a man or a woman, whatever the case might be for you, God needs people in this hour to be a witness to his kingdom. Like the Apostle Paul, whatever situation you might find yourself in, you're ready to share about the Lord because of the joy you have in your heart. You're ready to be supported by the Lord in the midst of whatever you're going through. And you're willing to wait to see the good that's going to come out of this. The next time you're facing something that makes absolutely no sense to you, I want you to remember Romans 8:28, and I want to challenge you specifically in this way. Instead of saying, God, why is this happening to me? Why are you doing this to me? How about make a step in faith and say, God, help me to see the good that will ultimately come from this. I don't see it right now. But help me to ultimately see the good that will come from this, that I might praise your name. Some newlyweds were able to scrap up enough money for 2 train tickets to a city with a resort hotel for their honeymoon. However, when they arrived, they found that the hotel was shut down. I guess they didn't have Trivago or cheap tickets or whatever. Stranded in an unfamiliar city with little money, they thumbed a ride with a sympathetic driver who took them to a friend who owned a grocery store with a room up above it. When the lady overheard the man playing Christian songs on his trombone, she arranged for them to spend the rest of their honeymoon at a friend's house. Several days later, she invited them to attend a youth rally where a young evangelist was speaking. The song leader that night got sick, and so they asked the man who played Christian songs on the trombone to lead the music for the service. The young evangelist was Billy Graham, who met Cliff Barrows that night, and the rest is history, as they say. They went on to have a ministry that expanded decades and literally touched millions upon millions of souls even to this day. And I ask you, really, in all honesty, what are the odds of something like that happening? God loves to do this stuff all the time. It drives me crazy. It drives me crazy. It really does. But God loves to do it. And guess why God loves to do it this way? So that you and I can't explain it away. Right? There's just no human explanation for that. Exactly. You can't explain it away. You see, if we could figure it out, if we could make it happen, then it'd be about us. But when God weaves the tapestries of our life in such a way that he takes things that look like a mistake at the beginning and brings something so beautiful out of it, bringing together Billy Graham and Cliff Barrows for a lifetime of evangelistic ministry, we know that is God. We know that is an instant of God causing all things to work for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purposes. That is exactly what God wants to do in your life and in my life. Some of you have already had experiences like this. Some of you are about to have them. Be encouraged. You can smile with me. I told you a couple weeks ago, you can smile in church. Smile. Smile now. Because God wants to turn your world upside down. He wants you to learn in the midst of cars breaking down and accidents happening out of the blue that you didn't even see coming and firings and bills not being able to be paid and you're saying to yourself, God, how are you going to get me through this? God is going to work it to good. God ultimately works it for good for those who love him and are called according to his purposes. Beloved of God, be open to being used by him in this journey of faith. Be open to allowing him to turn your world upside down. And instead of looking at what's wrong, instead of looking for the darkness, begin to look up to the light. Begin to pray that God would give you and I the grace to see the good in this and to walk it out in faith. Because as you and I begin to do that, God will begin to know that we understand what he's about. And just like the Apostle Paul, he'll send more and more and more people to us that we might be a witness to him. And then we're ready for the next step. Do you have a situation in your life right now that makes no sense to you? You're not alone. We're going to take a moment to pray, all right? And we're going to give that situation up to God and ask God to just to minister to your heart right now and move from doubt and anger toward God to faith.